My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us for the week. We want to hook you from Monday and Tuesday in a way to say thank you. We have this. How would you describe the Marcus Semien bat? Inscribed?
Engraved, inscribed. It's a regular, you know, regular wood bat, and It's got a bunch of
it's on the Fan Cam
inscriptions.
That's sweet.
Logos, his number, his signature. It's got a photo of him swinging a bat. It's a very cool looking commemorative bat for the All-Star Game. We'll have available for you in the 7 o'clock hour Monday and Tuesday.
And KNC will have it in the noon hour on Monday.
We don't care about that.
That's a way to thank you for turning it on, leaving it on, your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. We got both. So Bobby sent this while out on vacation till next Friday. This is Bucky Brooks, who does work for DallasCowboys.com on the NFL Network with Jane Slater, talking about Trey Lance, QB1.
I like the percolator, and what I would say is both things could be true at the same time. Dak Prescott certainly could be playing this out to kind of chase a bag like Kirk Cousins, because he knows the value of the market is never going to go down. It's only going to go up. No matter how he plays this year, he is going to get paid in a major way. But for the Cowboys and Trey Lance, look, it may be a smart observation. Remember this, there are a lot of questions about Jordan Love, and I'm not saying that Trey Lance is going to be the next Jordan Love. But remember the conversation about Jordan Love when Jordan Love played. There were a lot of people, naysayers, that didn't think that Jordan Love would be a really, really good player after he played a start or two for the Green Bay Packers. And Trey Lance, what you have is a former first-round pick that has been reared up under Mike McCarthy for the last going on a year and a half. This gives Mike McCarthy an opportunity to really see what he is, see what his potential could be, and I'm sure they've had some conversations about what do you think the end game is for Trey Lance. So if Trey Lance has an opportunity to play, maybe Dak Prescott has a sprained ankle, gives Trey Lance an opportunity to have a start or two, I think you could make a case that maybe we move forward with the young guy, continue to build a team around him, and give Trey Lance the opportunity to take the baton from Dak Prescott. So, yes, I do believe that conversation has been had in the Cowboys' office.
Well, is it reasonable to think that the Cowboys have or should have had that conversation? I'm a believer in that you should discuss all possibilities. And if Dak Prescott has not signed this late into the offseason, hopefully you have had that talk. Hopefully you have had that discussion. If we don't get him re-signed, how do we feel about Trey? I don't think there's anything wrong with that conversation. Dak probably wouldn't love it.
No, but I mean, they had discussions in New England about replacing Tom Brady. Right? Nobody's immune to this.
Yeah.
Now, have they had discussions in Kansas City before they signed Patrick Mahomes of, hey, should we get rid of Patrick Mahomes? Absolutely not. But yeah, like, I'm sure Baltimore, I'm sure John Harbaugh said, hey, are we sure Lamar's the guy long term when they were doing the discussion? I'm sure every team,
yeah,
with the exception of the Chiefs.
You don't think they've talked about our replacements here over the past 14 years?
For sure. For sure they have.
Or maybe the past 14 weeks.
Yeah, maybe not the past 14
days.
But 14 years for sure. Yeah, like, you know, I bet you the Bills somewhere along the line had a discussion. with Josh Allen. Maybe not Cincinnati.
Is a Jordan Love comp fair or interesting to put in the same discussion as Trey Lance?
Well, it is blow the belt, right? So we got to say interesting in there.
Jordan Love's rookie year, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. His second year, 1 touchdown in 21 attempts. Last year, 32-11 in 17 games. Played in 10 games his first 2 seasons.
Is that a fair comp? Yeah, I mean,
I'll give you Trey.
Look, I think Trey...
Trey's played 8 games in 2021, 6 games, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, and second year, 2 games, 0-1. I think it's an interesting comparison.
I think so,
Dang
too.
Dang it!
What is Trey's biggest skill set?
His athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know,
although Bobby was saying he thought, keep in mind, slanted Bobby, he thought that Trey's arm was going to jump out more out at practice in Frisco when he watched him.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, you don't get drafted where he did without having a, you know, really a really good arm, decent arm, I wouldn't think. Because he never played. So you're only going on measurables. The guy barely played college football. There's an absolute growth with him he's a project. He's the ultimate project. And so was, you know, Jordan Love. He wasn't a project, but he got to sit and watch Aaron Rodgers for a while. Like, he's an old man. I mean, he knows that system, you know, like the back of his hand. Whereas guys like, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or Trevor Lawrence, they just come in, they start day one, barely getting to know the playbook. So, yeah, like I think Jordan Love as a comp, I mean, I could absolutely see that. Does that mean that I would move on from Dak for that? No, not yet.
And all this leads into your absolute insistence that we should be more patient with young QBs.
So, let's look at this. The careers by a rookie quarterback following an awful season. Bryce Young last year had a completion percentage under 60%. He did not throw for 2,900 yards. He had 11 TDs and 10 picks. He only averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. That's awful.
Oh, my.
Awful.
We got breaking news.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Mikey, can you hear? Are they listening in the conference room?
Mikey Bassick.
Okay. They're not listening. They're talking about their show. Breaking news from Woj.
Uh-oh.
Dallas has traded Tim Hardaway Jr. and 3 second-round picks to Detroit for Quentin Grimes.
Okay.
Hardaway and 3 second-rounders gone to the Pistons for Quentin Grimes. Finish up your quarterback point, and then we'll get back to this breaking news on The Fan. Is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, so the whole gist of this is plenty of really good / Hall of Fame quarterbacks had awful rookie years, some of them worse than Bryce, and still went on to do great things. There's a top 10 list here. I mean, Jared Goff was 0-7 as a starter, 5 TDs, 7 picks. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler. He went to a Super Bowl and has gone to another NFC Championship game. He turned his career around. Josh Allen, 10 TDs, 12 picks. Looked like he never threw a football before his first year. He's now 68-35 as a starter. Jim Plunkett was 3-11, had a 48% completion percentage, 19 TDs, 16 picks, 2-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl MVP, should be in the Hall of Fame. Eli, first year, 1-6, 48% completion percentage, 6 TDs, 9 picks, 4-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. Dan Fouts, first year, rookie year, 0-5, a 44% completion percentage. He wound up going to the Pro Bowl 6 times, 4-time league passing champion, offensive player of the year. Steve Young, awful his first year, 3 TDs, 8 picks, 52% completion percentage. He's a Super Bowl MVP and in the Hall of Fame. Brett Favre, his first year, he didn't start any games, a 0.0 completion percentage, 2 interceptions, though. We know what he did. Elway, same thing. Elway's first year, he was abysmal. 7 TDs, 14 picks, a 47% completion percentage. Troy Aikman's first year, he was 0-11, 9 TDs, 18 picks. 18! And how about Terry Bradshaw, his rookie year? 38% completion percentage, 6 TDs, 24 interceptions. Hall of Fame, four-time Super Bowl champ. These guys, how many of these guys are Hall of Famers? There's 7 of these guys are Hall of Famers. They're perfect examples that you need to be patient with quarterbacks. And if Bryce Young goes and has a great career, I mean, I'm not going to bat an eye at it. If he's out of the league in 3 years, I also won't bat an eye at it.
Yeah.
You know, like him to call him a bust or call anybody a bust for 1 year, which we do way too quickly in this league, I think is just way too short-sighted.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station, it's 105.3 The Fan. So the majority of those would say patience. Like,
yeah,
I'm looking at Hardaway stuff. Did you have a certain amount that you named where the percentage recovered after the rough start, like out of 10 or however many you named?
Oh, they all recovered.
They all recovered.
I mean, look at the names of the list: Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, John Elway, Steve Young, Dan Fouts, Jared Goff, Eli Manning, Josh Allen, Jim Plunkett. I mean, like I said, 7 of those guys are in the Hall of Fame, or 6 of them. Plunkett's not, should be. Eli shouldn't be, but will be. Josh Allen and Jared Goff. Everybody else in the Hall of Fame.
You also are forecasting absolute doom. You may think lower of the New York Jets than Bobby because of Goff. Yeah. The new Goff obsession from Sauce Gardner.
Bet the under. Bet the under on win total, not because of Rodgers, but because of Sauce Gardner. Now, I love Sauce, and I love golf. The problem is Sauce loves golf, and that's the biggest problem is that he's addicted to it right now. How do I know? Because he got his first birdie the other day. The worst thing you could do as a golfer is get a birdie. All right. When you're a golfer and an athlete, the worst thing you could do is get a birdie on a hole because you become
an early birdie.
You become addicted. And when you become addicted to golf, there's nothing worse than being addicted to golf because the moment you get a little bit of taste of success in golf, your entire world, your job, your relationship, your parenting ability is gone because you're at the driving range. You're trying to perfect an endless craft of futility and failure. Yeah. I feel so bad for Jet fans today because their number one player, their best player, Sauce Gardner, should retire because he will never be as good as he is right now because he finally got a birdie on a hole in golf and he is going to do nothing but try to perfect this swing.
Philo, the belt taken over by Ralph James Choppy until Bobby Roberto returns as our Cowboys insider 1 week from today. Let's talk about another Nico move. The breaking news that Tim Hardaway Jr. has been traded. Who do they add? What does it mean? And Bronny fallout from last night, all next with Sean and RJ.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Melvin Ejinka was just selected by the Knicks, but this pick is now on its way to the Dallas Mavericks.
I thought I was going to throw the beginning of the segment off by asking if you ate my breakfast sandwich yesterday.
No.
All right, thank
you. Was it from McDonald's?
Yeah, it was McDonald's, and someone took half of the... I hid it in there.
Oh, no.
That Bobby brings in, and I just stored it in there.
What was the sandwich? Was it a McGriddle? I love McGriddle.
It was a steak, egg, and cheese bagel.
Oh, those are $3 at times at on the app on certain days.
Someone ate half of one bagel. They took the bagel with the egg part and left the other part with the steak.
I'll tell you who it could be. I'm not telling you Eric, it is. Eric eats everything.
He already said he did not. We already checked.
All right.
We already checked. I was just hoping it wasn't you. I didn't want to fight during crosstalk.
Maybe an overnight person who's making $5 an hour.
I like to be going through it and all that stuff.
Yeah, to pick things out you can't eat, or like, I don't like eggs. So I'm
I'd rather you eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Don't leave half of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad it wasn't you because I needed you for this segment anyway. With the breaking news.
Holy cow.
Dallas has traded Tim Hardaway Jr. Real quick. The reason I brought that up was because of what you just said with RJ entering the room. I thought I was going to derail the segment, but you did.
Oh, he went to the restroom, but I think he brought some of his restroom in here.
Man, I'll tell you. How
he goes, I smell you. I literally smell you coming back in the room.
How
you're doing that junk drawer topic after you eat.
Oh, yeah, the fart walk. You got to walk after dinner. How long could you keep meat in the freezer for?
In the freezer?
Yeah.
For a long time.
Dude, I you know me, I go overboard. Why?
We had Tolo gave me, Tolo Colin, good dude. Gave me
venison
with brisket mixed in burgers.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Just the ground beef.
Yeah.
About 6 years ago. And
six years?
I found them in the back of the freezer.
Bro, I don't even think I'd do that.
No, that's too long.
And I'm paying for it today.
And you ate them yesterday.
Yeah, we had them last night.
Is burgers. Sarah having issues?
I don't know. I sent her a text.
Six years?
6 years.
I still haven't done all this. A month or so ago when all the power went out a lot of places, and then I had to go to Miami for the Ranger trip.
Well,
everything unfroze in our freezer. So I dumped a lot, but I still got to dump more stuff out of freezers because I'm like, there's no way when things get to room temperature
close
to them. And yeah, I'm like, it's not worth it.
Chobby's dumping right now. All right, breaking news from Woj, brought to you by BetQL. The Mavs traded Tim Hardaway Jr. and 3 second-round picks to Detroit for Quentin Grimes. Mike, what do you think of the deal on the player?
The player's a solid role player as kind of a 3-and-D guy.
6'4" was the 25th pick of the 2021 draft.
Yeah, so he's a off-guard wing defender who's a decent shooter. He's not a great shooter.
37% from three.
But really what you're doing here to add on to the trade, as long as everything works out in a few days, you opened up the money now to give the full mid-level exception to Derrick Jones Jr. So you're trading Tim Hardaway Jr. to keep Derrick Jones Jr., and you needed to do that before free agency. Because let's just say you are Derek Jones Jr. And I'm just throwing out a team. The Atlanta Hawks come to you because they're horrible defensively. And they're like, look, we need you and need you bad. Here's what we're going to do. We're offering you 3 years and $33 million, approximately the mid-level exception over 3 years. And if he wants to stay in Dallas and Dallas is telling him, hey, we don't have that money yet, but we're still trying to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. And when we accomplish that, we will have the money for you. What if they don't accomplish it? What if they do accomplish it 2 weeks later and Atlanta's like, well, obviously you didn't want to play for us, so we spent the $11 million a year on somebody else. So Derek Jones Jr., who hasn't made a lot of money in his career, could not take the risk on July 1st, waiting for the Mavs to possibly trade Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah. to possibly have the money to give him about $10 to $12 million a year. So the Mavericks needed to get this done before free agency. So
this is his only deal. This is going to be Derek's only like made real contract.
He's 27. Probably.
Yeah, I think that there could be. I think other teams might go, do we want to waste our time?
Yeah.
So basically, they'd have 10 or 11 in cap space.
Well, in you have the mid level. You have the full mid level exception now,
which is,
and that's it. That's all you have left.
Which is how much?
Approximately $11 million a year.
I'm old enough to remember when it was six.
Yeah.
Is there someone else that you would have liked them to target, or no? Derek Jones Jr. is the best, most reasonable thing and fit.
I like bringing back this team. You've added another talented player, an eighth man type of guy who is Grimes. He's young. He can improve a little bit. If you look at he's 24. Is that right? Is that what you said? I think he's 24. He just had a birthday 2 days ago. Might be 25 now. But if you look at your core, if Derek Jones Jr. comes back, but he's 27. PJ Washington's in his mid-20s. Gafford's in his mid-20s. You have Lively 20. You have mid-20s Luka. The only guy that's old that you really rely on and count on is Kyrie. He's the only guy. Like, I don't really count Kleba as a guy you can count on. He's going to miss 40 games again next year with injuries. He's going to be scared to death of the moment in the playoffs a lot of times. And then there's going to be a few games he plays well in the playoffs and it'll make you feel better about him. But this is a team that's entering their prime, made it to the finals. You're bringing it back. And there could be another trade that pops up, but you really lost nothing in this trade. There's nothing of value in this trade, and you're able to retain Derek Jones Jr. and add another piece that can play off the bench for you anywhere from 10 minutes minimum, 30 minutes maximum if you have injuries per night.
And here's Tim McMahon saying what you said, Mike. This move positions the Mavs to offer a significant part of the $13 million mid-level to Derek Jones Jr. Nico called it priority 1A and 1B for the offseason.
So it even went up more than
12.9.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you watch tape of the Mavs' new draft pick yet?
I watched the 5-minute, 10-minute clip on YouTube. I'm assuming this because he just is turning 20. I'm assuming this. They're going to try to tell him to stay in France for a year. Mm-hmm. And just keep playing over there. There's 0 minutes for him here at his age and where he's, I'm assuming, at 51.
And he'll make more money. Well, will the Mavericks pay him if he's in France? So he'll make more money in France than he will at the G League.
And then you hold his rights longer. If he comes over here, he would just play in the G League.
And you'll make $20,000 a year or whatever it is. Like
he would have a split, one of those split contracts.
You know, before Sandler got me fired, a lot of guys would be in the G League until January. And then they would go, and they got a contract. They would go make $30,000 in the month and play in Turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of the guys at the G League. So if you're already over there, you can make some good money overseas. You can make good living. So
thanks to Tolo TR, Kobe. They sent us this news of the Tim Hardaway trade. I didn't think that guy was 6'8 while watching his tape yesterday. But
you're left-handed, too. I love left.
He got some creativity and
he's an athletic 20-year-old who has a small percentage chance of making the NBA. Yesterday, it's weird, the second round pick, literally 80% of those guys won't have an NBA career.
Yeah.
Yep.
50% of them won't even make a team this year. 50% of them will be released at the end of training
camp.
It'll
be in Spain.
Yeah, and so there's only going to be approximately, out of the second round, six guys who have an NBA career. Did you pick one of the six guys that is going to have an NBA career in the second round? I hope so, but
I was asleep yesterday. I was trying to nap before the draft, round two, when you called. Did you watch it? What were you calling about the draft? Bronny?
I think. Oh, yeah, I was. I didn't know he was only 6'1".
Yeah, he's listed as 6'2".
Yeah, I thought it was 6'3", but he only 6'1".
No, no, no. When I was right before I went to do Bally's, I was watching the draft, and they were previewing it. It was 3 o'clock. I was leaving pretty soon, and obviously they were previewing Bronny. Could he go early in the second round? Is it just obvious he's going to go to the Lakers?
Yeah.
And when they measured him at the combine, he was 6'1 and change, and that's what I was calling. I was like, I thought he was, to RJ's point, I thought he was 6'3 or 6'4, so he's a 6'1 off guard. He's not a one. No, he's not a one at all.
Yeah. Well,
so I was like, oh, crap. Like, this just hurts me thinking I'm in a weird way rooting for Bronny because I feel bad for him.
Yes.
This is
not Shador.
And I get what Wojnarowski said is perfect. The nepotism in all leagues, it's all there.
It's all there.
We drafted Satnam Singh, a dude who every human being who ever watched basketball knew he couldn't play, but we wanted to take a dude from India so we could say, the Mavericks did it. They were the first franchise to have a guy from...
But that wasn't nepotism.
Well, that's just screwing around and like having fun. Nepotism is giving...
Stephen Jones,
the general manager's job, stuff like that. I get it. And this is drafting a son and kind of making sure, like, they're 99% sure LeBron is coming back to the Lakers, but they just made sure to make it 100%.
Yeah, I get the Lakers doing it, but I was sickened by a lot of the things and the way it played out yesterday. I don't hate the Lakers, obviously, like you do. That was sickening with the coverage, with Rich Paul calling and threatening everyone. It felt like... He parted the seas and every NBA... Here's what I'm wondering, Mike.
Yeah.
Did every NBA team get scared of Rich Paul? Side note, is Rich Paul Scott Boris, by the way. I think Rich Paul's damn good at his job. But it bothered me to think that he was telling teams what to do and they listen. Or did these teams say, yo, man, he's not even on our board. Y'all want to make a cute little story? Go ahead and do it. Or were they afraid of dealing with Paul, LeBron, future clients down the road? Because I hated just how automatic this was that Bronny just ended up there and the league was like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think all of the above. I think, Rich Paul has enough great clients that you don't want to tick him off. Cuban didn't care to do that when he ticked off
Duffy.
Yeah, Bill Duffy. And it hurt the Mavs a little bit down the road.
Because they're not supposed to let it carry over to client to client.
How did it hurt the Mavs?
Well, Bill Duffy was just like when he had free agents. And I know the Mavs weren't having a lot of cap space at all back then. But Bill Duffy's like, I'm not sending you there. It's a bad organization. Don't worry. We're not sending
you there. Wait, is it? Hang on. Because he did the same thing. Bill Duffy just did that same thing with Alex Sarr.
Okay.
Right. He told him, don't even bother working out for Atlanta. And isn't he the one that told Luka the same thing? Don't go to Atlanta.
I can't remember, but yeah, something like that. I don't know how
he's Luka's guy, right?
Especially agents in basketball, because you really aren't negotiating contracts. Think about it. As an agent, look at Derek Jones Jr. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's the mid-level exception. Yeah. I can't negotiate higher than that.
Yeah. You make the all-NBA team, you're getting the super-duper max.
Yeah, tell me the client. You can't really negotiate Kyrie Irving's contract as an agent. It's done. Luka's always a max player. Done. Derek Lively's going to be, as long as he stays healthy, a max player. There's nothing... Daniel Gafford is a guy who'll be interesting as an agent. You can make him a few extra million dollars here and there because he's not going to be a max guy and he's going to be higher than a mid-level guy. So how many guys in the NBA fall above mid-level but well below max? Those are the only time agents are actually working an NBA contract. Their other negotiations are working off-the-court deals for the guys.
Was there any baseball nepotism in your clubhouses or locker rooms that people resented?
So I hate bringing this up, but you asked.
You don't have to. Don't get yourself
clubhouse
in trouble.
Guys, right? They're like,
I'm
trying to think of players.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good friend of mine who I love and who I played with in the minor leagues a lot who made the major leagues because of a certain situation, which is fine. I remember I'll bring up another one and I forget his name.
Is it fine, Mike, if they make it and then their talents take over and they go away? But it's not fine if they stay and they're not worth it.
Usually,
they didn't earn it.
Usually it's impossible to stay for a long time in these situations. Yeah. The Rangers, about 5 or 6 years ago, I can't remember who it was. They called up like a 33-year-old who had been in their organization for a decade. They were picking. There was, once again, they were, it was in the bad times of the Rangers. And they're like, who cares? This is a good guy. He's been such an organizational guy. Maybe he's a coach now in the Rangers organization. But like, bring him up in September. Yeah. This was before you only had 26 spots. We have 40 spots. Let's reward the guy for a 10-year minor league career and give him that September call-up, 30 days of big league pay, and say he now can say he was a major leaguer. And
but if this guy was a competitor of yours for the fifth spot for some bullpen work, you'd be ticked.
Oh, I was 100% ticked. I'll tell you who I was ticked about one time. It's probably stupid of me. He ended up having a decent career. Gavin Floyd with Philadelphia. He was the fourth overall pick in the draft. I had to pitch 3 games where I didn't even get a bullpen session. I would throw 6 innings, day off, and because Gavin was so inconsistent in AAA, that I would have to then don't throw your bullpen. Don't practice on your game because we really don't care about you. If Gavin Floyd throws 30 pitches in the first inning, which is a 50-50 proposition because he couldn't throw strikes, you're going to come in and pick up 3 innings and that will be your bullpen session and we don't care about your arm. And I was cool. I was like, I don't like this, but I'll do this. As in, I feel like I'm going to be a great teammate and maybe this will pay off. It didn't, but sometimes you do things that you know could personally hurt you, but you're thinking, I wonder if Charlie Manuel and Ed Wade, I think was the general manager, if maybe they will go, gosh, this dude will do anything to help out a AAA team. It didn't work out for me. I didn't make Philadelphia's team.
But was his dad somebody?
Gavin Floyd. He was the fourth overall pick, and they gave him millions of dollars. So then it's like, we don't care how he does.
Yeah.
He's going to the major leagues.
Yeah, they have too much.
He can put up a 10 ERA. It doesn't matter. He's going to the major leagues. Now, nepotism, no, right? Because if you're defining it by family member or very close friend, no. But you know, sometimes it does work out. I mean, Tommy Lasorda, for a favor, drafted Mike Piazza.
And, right. You know, is this comparable to Deuce Vaughn at all? Getting taken? Oh, think about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, to me, like, you know, getting selected or put up there, your talent is going to keep you there.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with
getting
somebody
in the door.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, if you go to Harvard and you, because you go to Harvard, your kid gets to go to Harvard too.
Right.
I don't have as much of a problem. You getting through the university, maybe a bad example, but getting through the university is on you. They're just going to get anybody.
I think the question is how many more years does LeBron have? And now will he play in, I hate saying this, will he play in pickup time or trash time just to play with his son?
Oh, they're playing a regular season game.
Yeah, I understand. But do you think that, and maybe this will be like JJ Redick's going to have to do this. This is part of who cares if we win or not. We want to create history. Will he really check in Bronny James in a 35-32 game in the second quarter?
Why wouldn't he?
Well, I would want to win. My goal is to win a championship. I can't put a young kid out there who can't play in this league at all yet. Maybe Bronny can figure it out over time, but literally there's 100 kids that were better than him in college that can play in the league before him. But if you're like, hey, he's going to be on the team, and when we're up by 20 or down by 20 with 3 minutes to go or 4 minutes to go in the game, I'm putting him in. He's going to get his 3 to 4 minutes. Does that mean to play with him, you don't take Braun out up or down by 22? You keep him in the game so they can play together?
Mikey Bacsik, more of him as he leads Crosstalk to finish up our week in the morning next on The Fan.
Well, I informed my wife last night. We did it. We beat Medicare. Huh?
Okay, so you missed the beginning. You missed the beginning.
I was doing Rangers, so I got home, and I would say I watched. This is where I don't know exactly where I picked up, but I got on the Peloton. There's about 10 minutes of debate. Then they took a 4-minute commercial, and then came back with closing remarks.
Did you get to see the golf stuff?
I did. I got to see that live. That was approximately when I got on the Peloton. Within 5 minutes, they talked about their golf game.
Okay, but this was like here's the most alarming moment that had everyone starting to text each other throughout the entire world.
Making sure that we continue to strengthen our healthcare system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Yes! We did it!
And Tapper.
In your face!
I don't know whether Tapper made him look better or worse. They're like, Jake Tapper had to step in to save him. Like, all right, thanks, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And like, trying to bail him out, or it sounded worse because it was a cutoff, like, okay, you're done.
Yeah, it
better.
It was tough to watch. That was a tough debate to watch.
I wasn't watching, but that was the very beginning where you'd have like the most energy and the most focus.
He recovered to a degree. Like, it could have, it didn't get worse.
I was on the Peloton at times. Now, I didn't have it super loud and I didn't have like captions on. But there were times where I'm like, I don't know what he said. I don't know. There was a couple sentences where I'm like, I don't think he made words there.
Yeah, but none of this
has a billion trillionaires
is or should be. I'm surprised by the people surprised by this. You know what I mean? Why do you think that is?
Because, look.
Suckers and losers.
It depends on who, it depends on who you watch. Like certain if you watch certain networks, you may not.
Yeah, but you watch his clips for themselves. Oh,
but
you
have to pretend.
Maybe not the guess.
Or else you can't feign ignorance. Like, look, here's the deal. There's a group of people out there that have been trying to cover this up for the last 2 years. And now it's out there for everybody to see. And you can't go, well, I knew and I was told to lie about it, or I had to lie about it for whatever reason. You have to feign surprise or else the jig's up.
All right, let me ask a really, you got something, Corey, on that? Let me ask a really stupid follow-up political question, and I'm qualifying it as probably stupid. Can he get away with another term behind the scenes if there are still some legitimately intelligent thoughts that just come out really, it doesn't matter if it comes out slow behind the scenes versus speaking publicly, or if you have a good enough team around you, can you get away with another term versus us thinking, oh my gosh, like what we saw last night, that's going to decide our fate and split second decisions, which obviously would doom us all.
Yeah, look, any president, and this is not just about Biden, like any president has a team of advisors around them. So I don't think he's any
that
different.
That probably do run the country.
Yes. And general. I mean, look, you don't have to go back too many terms to find a president that a lot of people thought somebody else really ran the show. So I'm not trying to be like, you know, pro one side or another, but I think you can get away with it. Look, Reggie and I disagree about this, and I think that this is all done explicitly and calculated yesterday to get the desired outcome. Because look,
I agree. I think that's spot on. Like we've never seen the debate in June.
Yeah, exactly.
Before a convention.
Do you know what the earliest presidential debate in modern history was?
August?
September 21st.
Yeah.
And this was
that's
in
the next one
June.
Is in September.
Exactly. So this one was almost 3 months early to go. I talked about this with Corey, to go a little wind horse here. Now, why would they do that? And their convention is not for 2 months. I think after this was done on purpose because they asked them to step aside for this. And he said no. And they said, fine, you forced our hand. That is just my opinion.
And the follow up just. I know what you're saying, but the end of that would be what?
The end of that would be then he says that he's going to step aside, which then gives avenue for an open convention, which is not for another 2 months, where all the delegates pledge on the floor, and then it becomes
a
race
between.
And it's
not chosen by the people.
It's chosen by their delegate representatives.
The 10,000 people in there, not the millions who vote in the primaries.
And millions!
The millions and billions who vote. That's the problem.
So then it will be Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris or Michelle Obama.
But he said this morning he's not.
Yeah, we'll see.
Could Kennedy swing into that?
It'll be gullible Gavin.
Yeah.
Gullible
he'd be like, you know what, guys? Gavin Newsom. I'm Democrat now.
Oh, no.
Wasn't he?
Newsom. I thought he was kind of like.
He was, but he switched to independent. Yeah.
RFK.
I wonder if he gets a little bit more played. I have no idea.
He was the big winner last night.
I agree with that. And like, that's why I wished he was been on the stage. Like, I really wanted to see him on the stage and listen to his ideas and see. I mean, I know you can hear him plenty of other places.
But you're messing up the nickname. Better. He said it last night when Trump calls him. New scum.
Oh, yeah.
Calls him Gavin New Scum.
New scum.
Oh. And like, whoever. Trump
shifty
and Skip.
Shifty shift.
Trump and Skip people. Bayless and Randy Galloway have the same nickname person.
Oh, they
whoever that person is a
and
freaking.
And Mike, too. Mike has a pretty good nickname person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With Archmo McGee.
Well,
So Magoo. Now I'm going to change the topic.
No.
This is my crosstalk here.
Oh, in your face.
Today,
which we reminded you of.
I showed you guys tankathon.com, which usually everybody uses for basketball, right? Because that's the sport that truly does tank. But I said, they do this for all four sports. They don't do this for just basketball. And I told Sean and RJ, I said, go to tankathon.com and click on MLB.
It's not good.
Sean, what did you see?
I cannot believe that the Texas Rangers right now would hold the fifth pick. And then there's these weird little symbols next to the White Sox and Athletics at 10 and 11, and they have many, many more losses than the Rangers.
When you go to, just many, read it out loud losses. For people, because it's a very general rule on Tankathon, but when you go to the red, like, X out, what does it say? Why do Oakland and Chicago have to pick 10th and 11th, and there's nothing they can do about it?
It says ineligible to pick better than 10th due to previous lotteries, market size, and revenue sharing rules.
Levels of suctitude would have been a better way of putting it.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, so if you...
That's not what it says, though.
Yeah. This is interesting for Tankathon. If you decide to go down the Houston Astros pathway, which they did over a decade ago, and just, we are going to try to be the worst team in baseball for a five-year period. Like, we're not going to try to be better. And then once we get enough draft picks, we will then start building a team up. And they did. And look, yeah, they've won for almost a decade now. They've been a 90-win team every year. Obviously, the Rangers and us fans, we're seeing how tough it is to actually repeat a good year after a good year. Yeah. But the Houston Astros were able to do it. And what they're trying to do is eliminate the Houston Astros situation, because they don't – other teams can look at the Astros' success and say, I get the cheating thing. Take that out for just a second in your brain, Ranger fans. They do not want 29 teams in baseball, or at least the teams that are mid-level teams or not Yankees, Dodgers, going, hey, why don't we just lose 100 games for 5 years? What's the difference between losing 88 games and 105 games? We're losing.
Right.
And then get a top three pick every year. And they didn't even hit on some of their picks. They took a dude, Mark Appel, who made the major leagues eventually, like at 30 years old. But like, they didn't do great in the draft, to be honest. But they had such an influx of picks and top picks in the first and second round. They were able to get so many good players. And so, baseball,
so this
at least,
is punishing you for not turning it around quickly.
If you don't
want
to spend money to get better, like the Rangers would have fallen into this category. If the Rangers would have just said, we're not getting Corey Seager, we're not getting Semien, we're not getting Gray, we're not doing these things, we're going to do the Houston. Then the Rangers, like this year, let's just say they had a bad year last year. This year, they would be in the Oakland Athletics situation and be like, we're not allowing you to pick better than 10.
They're like three losses away from having the third pick.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely
love
it.
How can seven games under, even if you take that rule out of it, how can seven games under have you getting the seventh pick?
Because teams are trying. A lot of teams are trying now. Obviously, the A's and White Sox.
I'm sorry, they would have the eighth pick.
Yeah, A's and White Sox are not trying. But there's a lot of
the seventh pick, because Washington has a win more.
You know, and there's excitement. Like, you know, even Pittsburgh's got Paul Skeens. Like, they got a reason to go to the ballpark. But I love this rule by MLB, because I personally like.
But how am I ever supposed to get real? How am I supposed to get hope as a White Sox or A's fan if I can't grow it up like Baltimore?
Well, the A's get it by moving.
Yeah, the A's get it by moving. Honestly, they should give the top pick to the best non-playoff team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, give you incentive to be good.
When did they put this in? I had no idea about
it. When we struck in or the lockout in 22, right? Going into the 22 season, this all, there's things that the players wanted more for anti-tanking, so teams would have to spend money. Like, we can't be bad another 3 years. We're not going to get better through the draft, so we might as well spend money.
So you're telling us to study prospects starting
today.
Well,
I'm just saying, this is just how tough this season has gone.
Wait till the sweep is over this weekend, okay?
We have the best prospects in the world.
We have Will
I've
Clark
seen
today.
You swing.
Nobody tells us.
We have
our
Will
prospects.
Clark at 10:30 this morning, and then Ramona Shelburne joins us at noon to talk about.
The best swing I've ever seen.
I've seen you swing. Play the golf clip to end. I know it's Mike's cross. Please play the golf clip to go ahead and end it. Pepe.
Just take a look at what he says he is, and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. The reason I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know how many? I've seen
you swing. I know you swing.
I know you swing.
President Trump, we're going to.
Let's not act like children.
Oh, my God. Well, I informed my wife last night. We did it. We beat Medicare. Jeez. Huh?
Okay, so you missed the beginning. You missed the beginning.
I was doing Rangers, so I got home, and I would say I watched. This is where I don't know exactly where I picked up, but I got on the Peloton. There was about 10 minutes of debate. Then they took a 4-minute commercial and then came back with closing remarks.
Did you get to see the golf stuff?
I did. I got to see that live. That was approximately when I got on the Peloton. Within 5 minutes, they talked about their golf game.
Okay, but this was like here's the most alarming moment that had everyone starting to text each other throughout the entire world.
Making sure that we continue to strengthen our healthcare system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Yes! We did it!
And Tapper,
in your face!
I don't know whether Tapper made him look better or worse. They're like, Tapper had to step in to save him. Like, all right, thanks, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And like, trying to bail him out, or it sounded worse because it was a cutoff. Like, okay, you're done.
Yeah, it...
Better.
It was tough to watch. That was a tough debate to watch.
I wasn't watching, but that was the very beginning where you'd have like the most energy and the most focus.
He recovered to a degree. Like, it could have... It didn't get worse.
I was on the Peloton at times. Now, I didn't have it super loud, and I didn't have, like, captions on. But there were times where I'm like, I don't know what he said. I don't know. There was a couple sentences where I'm like, I don't think he made words there.
Yeah, but none of this...
Past a billion trillionaires.
...is or should be... I'm surprised by the people surprised by this. You know what I mean? Why do you think that is?
Because, look...
Suckers and losers.
It depends on who you watch. Like certain, if you watch certain networks, you may not.
Yeah,
see
but you watch his clips for themselves.
Oh, but you have to pretend.
Maybe not the guess.
Or else you can't feign ignorance. Like, look, here's the deal. There's a group of people out there that have been trying to cover this up for the last 2 years, and now it's out there for everybody to see. And you can't go, well, I knew, and I was told to lie about it, or I had to lie about it for whatever reason. You have to feign surprise, or else the jig's up.
All right, let me ask you got something, Corey, on that? Let me ask a really stupid follow-up political question, and I'm qualifying it as probably stupid. Can he get away with another term behind the scenes if there are still some legitimately intelligent thoughts that just come out really, it doesn't matter if it comes out slow behind the scenes versus speaking publicly, or if you have a good enough team around you, can you get away with another term versus us thinking, oh my gosh, like what we saw last night, that's going to decide our fate and split second decisions, which obviously would doom us all.
Yeah, look, any president, and this is not just about Biden, like any president has a team of advisors around them. So I don't think he's any
that
different.
That probably do run the country.
Yes. And
general.
I mean,
look,
you don't have to go back too many terms to find a president that a lot of people thought somebody else really ran the show. So I'm not trying to be like, you know, pro one side or another, but I think you can get away with it. Look, Reggie and I disagree about this, and I think that this is all done explicitly and calculated yesterday to get the desired outcome. Because look,
I agree. I think that's spot on. Like we've never seen the debate in June.
Yeah, exactly.
Before a convention.
Do you know what the earliest presidential debate in modern history was?
August?
September 21st.
Yeah.
And this was
that's
in
what the next one is,
June.
In September.
Exactly. So this one was almost 3 months early to go. I talked about this with Corey, to go a little wind horse here. Now, why would they do that? And their convention is not for 2 months. I think after this was done on purpose because they asked them to step aside for this. And he said no. And they said, fine, you forced our hand. That is just my opinion.
And the follow up just. I know what you're saying, but the end of that would be what?
The end of that would be then he says that he's going to step aside, which then gives avenue for an open convention, which is not for another 2 months, where all the delegates pledge on the floor, and then it becomes a race between...
And it's not chosen by the people.
It's chosen by their delegate representatives.
The 10,000 people in there, not the millions who vote in the primaries.
And millions!
The millions and billions who vote. That's the problem.
So then it will be Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris or Michelle Obama.
But he said this morning he's not
Yeah, we'll see.
Could Kennedy swing into that?
It'll be Gullible Gavin.
Yeah. Like, he'd be like, you know what, guys? I'm Democrat now.
Oh, no.
Wasn't he?
Newsom. I thought he was kind of like,
yeah. He was, but he switched to independent. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if he gets a little bit more played. I have no idea.
He was the big winner last night.
I agree with that. And like, that's why I wished he was been on the stage. Like, I really wanted to see him on the stage and listen to his ideas and see. I mean, I know you can hear him plenty of other places.
But you're messing up the nickname. Better. He said it last night when Trump calls him. New scum.
Oh, yeah. He
calls him Gavin Newsom. Yeah,
Newsom.
Oh. Okay. And like, whoever. Trump
shifty
and Skip.
Shifty shift.
Trump and Skip people? Bayless and Randy Galloway have the same nickname person.
Oh, they do.
Whoever that person is a freaking.
And Mike, too. Mike has a pretty good nickname person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Archmo McGee.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Magoo. Now I'm going to change the topic.
No.
This is my crosstalk here.
Oh, in your face.
Today, which
we reminded you of.
I showed you guys tankathon.com, which usually everybody uses for basketball, right? Because that's the sport that truly does tank. But I said, they do this for all four sports. They don't do this for just basketball. And I told Sean and RJ, I said, go to tankathon.com and click on MLB.
It's not good.
Sean, what did you see?
I cannot believe that the Texas Rangers right now would hold the fifth pick. And then there's these weird little symbols next to the White Sox and the Athletics at 10 and 11, and they have many, many more losses than the Rangers.
When you go to, just read it out loud for people, because it's a very general rule on Tankathon, but when you go to the red, like, X out, what does it say? Why do Oakland and Chicago have to pick 10th and 11th, and there's nothing they can do about it.
It says ineligible to pick better than 10th due to previous lotteries, market size, and revenue sharing rules.
Levels of suctitude would have been a better way of putting it.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, so if you...
That's not what it says, though.
Yeah. That what and this is interesting for Tankathon. If you decide to go down the Houston Astros pathway, which they did over a decade ago, and just, we are going to try to be the worst team in baseball for a 5-year period. Like, we're not going to try to be better. And then once we get enough draft picks, we will then start building a team up. And they did. And look, they've won for almost a decade now. They've been a 90-win team every year. Obviously, the Rangers and us fans, we're seeing how tough it is to actually repeat a good year after a good year. Yeah. But the Houston Astros were able to do it. And what they're trying to do is eliminate the Houston Astros situation, because they don't. Other teams can look at the Astros' success and say, I get the cheating thing. Take that out for just a second in your brain, Ranger fans. They do not want 29 teams in baseball, or at least the teams that are mid-level teams or not Yankees, Dodgers, going, hey, why don't we just lose 100 games for 5 years? What's the difference between losing 88 games and 105 games? We're losing.
Right.
And then get a top three pick every year. And they didn't even hit on some of their picks. They took a dude, Mark Appel, he made the major leagues eventually, like at 30 years old. But like, they didn't do great in the draft, to be honest. But they had such an influx of picks and top picks in the first and second round. They were able to get so many good players. And so baseball,
so this
at least,
is punishing you for not turning it around quickly.
If you don't
want
to spend money to get better, like the Rangers would have fallen into this category. If the Rangers would have just said, we're not getting Corey Seager, we're not getting Semien, we're not getting Gray, we're not doing these things, we're going to do the Houston. Then the Rangers, like this year, let's just say they had a bad year last year. This year, they would be in the Oakland Athletics situation. They'd be like, we're not allowing you to pick better than 10.
They're like three losses away from having the third pick.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely
How can
love it.
Seven games under, even if you take that rule out of it, how can seven games under have you getting the seventh pick?
Because teams are trying. A lot of teams are trying now. Obviously, the A's and White Sox.
I'm sorry, they would have the eighth pick.
Yeah, A's and White Sox are not trying. But there's a lot of
the seventh pick, because Washington has a win more.
Yeah, you know, and there's excitement. Like, you know, even Pittsburgh's got Paul Skeens. Like, they got a reason to go to the ballpark. But I love this rule by MLB, because I personally like it.
But how am I ever supposed to get real? How am I supposed to get hope as a White Sox or A's fan if I can't grow it up like Baltimore?
Well, the A's get it by moving.
Yeah, the A's get it by moving. Honestly, they should give the top pick to the best non-playoff team. For, like, you know what I mean? Like, give you incentive to be good.
When did they put this in? I had no idea about
it. It was when we struck in or the lockout in 22, right? Going into the 22 season, this all, there's things that the players wanted more for anti-tanking, so teams would have to spend money. Like, we can't be bad another 3 years. We're not going to get better through the draft, so we might as well spend money.
So you're telling us to study prospects starting
today. Well, I'm just saying this is just how tough this season has gone.
Wait till the sweep is over this weekend, okay?
We have the best prospects. The best prospects in the world.
We have Will
I've
Clark
seen
today.
You swing.
Nobody tells us
we have
our
Will
prospects.
Clark at 10:30 this morning, and then Ramona Shelburne joins us at noon to talk about.
He has the best swing I've ever seen.
I've seen you swing. Play the golf clip to end. I know what it's Mike's swing. Cross. Please play the golf clip to go ahead and end it, Pepe.
Just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. The reason I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8?
Never.
But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
I know you swing.
President Trump, we're going to.
Let's not act like children.
Oh, my God.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.